morning, and welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where Sniffers blooms right here in athletics and sports. Well, I don't know about you, but I am looking for resources to learn more about the name, likeness, and image. It is a moving target. Because each state has their own stipulations. And so I'm teaching collegiate athletic administration at Hampton University this year. And I began every class that I teach this topic about the NCAA. And I begin the conversation talking about the different presidents or executive directors and the contributions to the landscape of the NCAA and collegiate athletics. And I found myself contradicting myself almost in every topic of the reasons and the being of the NCAA. And I'm like, wow. So I will usually say, well, you can't do this because, and you can't do this because, and this is in place because, and I'm like, wow. And so I'm having my students, and I'm suggesting that you join in tonight. Tonight, the Behind the Whistle, the Dr. Goodlow, has three webinars slated for training on name, likeness, and image. Three outstanding speakers. And one of them is Emmett Gill, who I try not to miss anything that he's speaking on. But tonight they have Luke Vinlam, who is a lawyer, and he always speaks at He always speaks at the Black Student Athlete Summit. And he talks fast, so he's got a lot of information. So I know that he's going to really pour into this one-hour webinar. It's 7 p.m. tonight, Central Time, 7 p.m. Central Time. You must register. So go to behindthewhistle.net. Go to behindthewhistle.net to register. And, yeah. And if you like me, if you got some students who may be dibbling-dabbling and may want to I'll just be honest with you, I have a student who has the opportunity, but we're all concerned about his eligibility. We really don't know, you know, if and how he can navigate that. So I said, you need to watch this. And I'm going to watch this, and we're going to figure out how to do both. And I'm just suggesting that you do the same. So, again, tonight, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm going to put it on my calendar as soon as I get off this podcast so I make sure I don't have anything else on there. You must register. I'm going to do that, too, as soon as I get off the podcast. BehindTheWhistle.net. And if you are in the Facebook group, there is a QR code that you can scan and register for all three. All three. It's just that tonight is the first one. Most important to get in the know. We cannot have our heads in the sand. It's the most important. And I love bringing resources to you. Dr. Jasmine George Williams is the author of the book, Love is at the Root of Resistance, Strategies of Activism, Advocacy, and Liberation. This is another resource I've shared with my class as well. I teach race and gender one night a week and at Hampton University. And to be honest, the book that I've been using is out of print, so I had to use some other resources until I can get the new edition and my students get the new edition. But it kind of began the conversation of why it's important to take this class at a time such as this. And And I explain why Dr. Jasmine George Williams wrote the book. And it's really a workbook. It really is a workbook to enlighten one. And I really, really say you need to get this on your bookshelf, again, for a time such as this. And you can go get the book at drjasmine.com. That's drjasmine.com. Again, drjasmine.com. You learn more about her, and to get the book, you go to bit.ly/Dr. G Book Launch. I'll take that back. That's not right. BTLY Dr. G's Book, DRGS Book. Again, bit.ly/DRGS Book. That's how you get the book. And plus, you can always go to Amazon as well. And, you know, there's something about DNA. There's something about DNA that we can't see, but somehow or another we move in those directions. And I can respect Dr. G's movements, put it like that. Movements, because definitely when I say movements, this is a movement at this time. Our children are finding their voices, and, you know, it's just like a tree. Again, we're talking about a garden. If you don't prune a tree, they're going to grow, and they're going to grow in a way that may become dangerous to themselves and to the environment. So when you prune a tree, you kind of direct which way it grows. And so I kind of feel like this book is such that. So when I say DNA, Dr. Jasmine George Williams' father was a Black Panther. And so she's found herself gravitating to some of his work when he wasn't, you know, no longer here with us. And it just becomes in her DNA to speak her truth. And so she's in higher ed. She did start out as an athletic administrator. She told me she started out in the SID world. So I'm like, yeah, you know, we can connect there. And so with her, this book is helping others to see that activism is not just taking to the streets and marching. Like I said before, this podcast is a part of activism. My goal is to show you, if you are in athletic administration, that you're not the only one navigating this world, and if others have ridden this roller coaster, because athletics has very moving parts, and most of us like roller coasters. We like the ebb and flow of the activity that may occur. And sometimes you might holler, sometimes you might scream, and sometimes you might cry, and sometimes you just may giggle. So that's why we share our experiences so others will want to get on the roller coaster ride. And so that being said, she gives so much hope, all right, that you can do it in the classroom. She's got different titles and things. So if this kind of has piqued your interest, guess what? She's doing a book talk, too. She's doing a book talk October 22nd. So you got almost 30 days to get yourself straight. Book talk Friday, October 22nd, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And I'm guessing that specific time because she's on the West Coast. 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., and she's going to talk about activism growth model, which is in her book. She's going to discuss liberations, advocacy strategies for special populations and student-athletes. So, again, if we know our kids are going to find a voice and they want to go about using their voice, you might want to share different strategies, because what's going to happen, they're going to do what they see. They're going to do what they see, and they might not understand all that goes into what they see. So might as well assist them, all right? Might as well assist them. So, again, I'm going to have my students sign on in for this for extra credit, and I'm sharing it with you. And if you have charge over some student-athletes, the conversation is going to target student-athletes K through 20. And that's a new term I haven't seen, but, hey, that makes sense. K through 20. To register for that event is lfce.info/booktalk. Again, lfce.info/booktalk. And so just want to share some more info about resources. You know, we're coming up on the third issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports. The deadline to save your spot ends October 1st, which is just around the corner. And so let me just give you a checkbox to see if you should consider to be a contributor to the third issue. If you have been on your campus for at least 5 years, and you have solved some issues by creating some type of strategies or program or process that led you out of a crisis of some sort, all right, or you no longer see a problem in that area, you should consider contributing to the third issue. If you are a person that your colleagues continue to say, can you show me how? Can you show me your blueprint? Can you send me that? That means you created something that others need. You should consider being in the third issue. And lastly, if you are a person who wants to, let's be honest, advance in athletic administration and you want to get your name out there, this is how you do it. You should consider to contribute to the third issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports. Now, I am not saying that the magazine or has something to do with some of the advancements of those who are in the magazine. I would not say that. That could be a theory. And so hats off to two individuals who are being recognized by Women Leaders in College Sports who have been contributors to the Significance in Athletics magazines 1 and 2. That would be Janelle White, who has just accepted a position as athletic director in the NAIA at a college in Georgia. She was in the first issue, And then Natasha Wilson, who is in the current one that's on the stands now, and she is also being recognized by Women Leaders in College Sports. And then we got a couple of folks who got their who have advanced in their career or given different opportunities. I'm recalling one young lady who shared the magazine with supervisors, people of decision making. This is one reason why that can tell your story. And she shared it and they read it and they offered her some committee opportunities, national committee opportunities. Another young lady who is in the magazine is a social worker, and she talked about working with student athletes in that area and her connection to Alliance of Social Workers in Sports. And they asked, could she teach that at the university? Could she create a certification process? So I'm all about advancing. I plant seeds. If this is something that has piqued your interest, just go ahead and email me at MoniqueAJSmith@seasonofempowerment.info. Again, MoniqueAJSmith@seasonofempowerment.info. I do want to share that this is the business model of an anthology. okay? So you do invest in it, but for the anthology, you just provide words. There's no pictures. And it's, so for me, and I've been in anthology, and it was quite helpful to getting my message out, but I wanted to do something a little different and do it in a magazine that will allow you to show yourself in action, action shots. And to be, people will pick up a magazine a little bit faster than would a magazine, a book, and they can get a glimpse of who you are. So this is why I began this, and it does not make me money. It just goes toward design and publication of. So if this is something that I can assist you with advancing your career with this vehicle, go ahead and email me at MoniqueAJSmith@seasonempowerment.info. The first and the second issue are available on Amazon. Just type in significance in athletics and sports. Or you can go to payhip.com/seasonempowerment to get the PDF version. Just this weekend, I went to visit one of my childhood friends, and she was talking about savings and stocks and bonds, and what she really was talking about was trading. And I said, you know, what we used to know about stocks is a little different because we got some new entities, things called bitcoins and fintech and. And, I mean, who you do know that there's such a thing as a point. Look, you know that there's the lowest piece that you can get in your hand is a penny. And a penny is one, right? Well, now most of your savings that you do traditional savings is a .01, which I can't understand what that is because that's even less than a penny. So you might want to learn some of these other vehicles that have a bigger return on investment, but it might be a bigger risk. If nothing I'm saying rings a bell to you, you need to hook up with Jolene Robinson of steppingtowin.com. Jolene Robinson is a retired women's basketball coach, but she's taking her winning ways to educate her colleagues in the financial investor game. And I just say women, just to be clear, to coach women in the financial investor game. And some things I just may know just because, okay, I'm a nerd. I'm going to read everything and get a better understanding. And but to deep dive, and, you know, one of the things I was telling my friend was about Acorn. She didn't. Even my students, people, this is, if anything, if you're a person who wants to know so you can help your students, in my collegiate athletic administration course, we were talking about student-athlete development and why, I was talking about Morgan Stanley. Morgan Stanley says now they want to help the student-athletes with their money because, again, the name, likeness, and image piece. They want to do financial education. And I was like, you know, why do you think that's important? And they were like, oh, they don't know. And I said, well, you know, accounting and personal finance are not the same. So then I asked the questions, do you have Acorn? I should have asked if you've ever written a check, because that's really, you should be surprised how many people don't know how to do that. And then I asked the question about credit cards. And so anyhow, the education of financial capability is one that we must have, because higher ed is going to be different. And if you're in this business, the pandemic should have taught you something. You need to have more than one income stream. And having a passive income stream that you don't have to watch is ideal, okay? And so Jolene Robinson can help you with that. Because having choices in life is freedom. Let me say that nice and slowly. Having choices in life is freedom, okay? So Jolene Robinson, go ahead and text her at 980-298-2000. 2231. Again, Jolene Robinson at 980-298-2231. Or email her at jrobinson@stepping2win.com. Stepping, S-T-E-P-P-I-N-G, the number 2, win.com. And just text and say, I'm ready to learn. Or I'm ready. Okay? So just, hey, get some more tools in your toolbox. And lastly, my last resource that, again, I talk about almost all the time in my class, and to professionals who have, you'd be surprised if a student comes to you to ask you about their class schedule or teacher or how to do something, if they are ever blessed to get the opportunity to play on the professional stage, they're going to ask you your opinion on that. And so one of the books that assisted me, and I actually talked about it in class too, and I was able to correct one of my students and what they thought they could get and how it works, and was Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. Again, Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse by Tawana Smith. And you say, what is the curse? The curse is you got money today, and what? In 30 days, you no longer have any money. And you're going like, what happened? It's because they're not familiar with all the entities that happen and how money is a cycle. And what is a cycle in the professional realm? And, you know, just because we're all in the height does not mean that the money is, it rotates the way you think it will. I was on a panel with some women, professional athletes, football players, and young man was drafted for a team, and I think he was a tight end or whatnot, and all the hype and everything. But then when they changed quarterback says, I want my old tight end from my previous team. You might have heard of him, Brady. So Brady bought Gronk with him, but the young man that was drafted and got his bonus, and but by the time they got to camp, he didn't have that position. So I think he made it someplace else, but, you know, if he bought a house already, got all set up, then that's financial ties that you may not be able to get out of. So these are some of the survival tactics or things to be aware of, just be aware of. And you just, you know, people are going to do what they're going to do, but you can say, hey, have you considered? Let me share this with you. Or take this book and learn from others so those pitfalls you don't fall into. So love this book, okay? Love this book. And I continue to write references to it all the time. So it's in 3 different formats, audio, paperback, and ebook, all on Amazon, okay? Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse. And, you know, I'm talking about football, but, you know, almost all your students can go pro now. Yeah, I mean, one of the fastest groups of professional athletes are track and field, and people very rarely think about that. Consider getting this resource for yourself and your student athletes. So time has come to meet our guest for today. I'm excited about having this young lady on the podcast. I met her at a Women's Leaders in college sports luncheon. I think we were at the same table, and I was like, ooh, must have you in the garden. So this has been a much-anticipated guest. So I would like to bring to the stage Christian Bray, Associate Director of Athletics at Harvard University. Welcome to the garden, Christian.
Can you hear me?
Hey.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. Did you hear me?
Okay, great. Yeah, I did. They were wonderful. First time ovation for me.
Well, we're going to jump right on in. Let's tell the audience your career journey from college to where you are now.
Yeah, so I'll say I think I have more of a non-traditional journey. So I started off as a student manager at Texas A&M for the women's basketball team. I'll say that's the first thing I did on campus when I went to college was go to the gym, talk to the coach, the director of operations, and signed on to be a student manager. I played basketball in high school and growing up, and I just, you know, wanted to be around sports and wanted to and knew, you know, even if I wasn't playing, that was something, an atmosphere I want it to be in. So, obviously, like I said, student manager, received my bachelor's degree in sport management from Texas A&M, and I minored in business and law. And after that, I decided to go to law school. So I headed up to Wisconsin to join the Marquette Law Program. They have a sports law certificate program that I participated in addition to receiving my JD. And then while at Marquette working with the faculty there, I got kind of looped into a few internships in the compliance office with Marquette. The summer of 2013, I went back down to Texas and worked with TCU, and then my last year in law school, I worked with Wisconsin a couple of times a week, all in the compliance office. So that really, you know, formed kind of where I was going to enter into college athletics, and it makes sense, you know, with a law degree and going into compliance, especially was hearing you talk about NIL and things, especially with everything going on in college athletics today. So after graduation, I accepted, it was a paid internship this time, but at Yale in the Ivy League, and spent 3.5 years there, worked my way up to assistant AD. And then in 2018, my current supervisor, Nathan Fry at Harvard, reached out and just gave me the opportunity to do more. So I currently oversee compliance. I oversee what we call the Harvard Radcliffe Fund for Women's Athletics. It's a fund where we support our women's sports, as well as have this really cool incentive program to help bring new donors in, to help bring community and just new aspects, hopefully, to our women's sports team. Sport oversight, senior woman administrator, and then I'm the liaison to several of our campus partners, such as General Counsel, Office of Gender Equity, and our student conduct offices. So they've given me a lot of responsibility here. I love it, and just grateful to be here where I am today.
That's a really interesting journey. It really is, because I wrote down do more. And but I'm going to come to a little bit more to that in a second. I want to back up for a second, just from my own education, because I've had several students, not this year, matter of fact, but talk about law school. But you mentioned a certification program first. I mean, you did both. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit more about the certification program and how is the application the same as you would to attend law school? How does that work?
Yep, so there are a couple of these programs. Right now, Marquette was one of the first ones. Tulane has an excellent program as well. I'm sure there are others. I don't want to leave anyone out. But they're specifically their certificate programs in addition to your Juris Doctorate. So you go through the same process of applying to the law school, you take the LSAT, you do all of that, or I guess the GRE is accepted by some law schools now as well. So you do all of the testing, and then it's just kind of a specialization. So while I was at Marquette, I actually did take a regular contracts class as well, just because I liked contracts, but instead of a normal contracts class, I did kind of a sports-tailored contracts class. So we called it sports sponsorships. So it's kind of tailoring that degree in the sports realm and learning from that standpoint. Again, you have to meet all the same requirements that you have to meet for your Juris Doctorate. It's just either a little extra or you're taking some of your classes that you might choose that aren't requirements and tailoring them to that program.
That sounds very interesting, and I might definitely kind of steer my students that way as well.
Yeah, great program. Like I said, Tulane has a great one as well, too.
Oh, yeah. Because I love certification programs, because it's like, it's going to sound kind of crazy, but it's like getting a win. You know,
right.
When you feel like you're winning and you got some type of something, it makes you keep on going for the next thing. And so some folks need to feel that in order to stay on that track. And so certification programs, the more certs you have, the more that you can pivot. And so which leads to my second question.
Yeah.
Tell us. So, because again, your first Ivy League institution was what again?
Yale.
Yale, okay. Because
yeah.
I couldn't hear that. I knew it, but I was like, did she say what I think she said? I wasn't sure. So, Yale. So, Yale and Harvard are in the same conference?
Same conference, biggest rivals.
That's what I thought. I was like, now how'd she do that? So tell me, how did you make that decision? I think I heard it. It says you get an opportunity to do more. But what were your steps to be able to, because like here, Hampton and Norfolk, and it's like, you know?
You're
I'm
right.
Gonna put that green
well,
on.
I definitely had that. I will say it was a lot easier to put the crimson on coming from Texas A&M as an undergrad because I was already wearing maroon, and I'm very I love wearing my maroon Texas A&M color, so I already kind of like the look anyway. But it was, you know, it was difficult a little bit. I'll say as much as they are rivals, I think the two institutions, and whether it's the coaches or administrators, or they respect each other, and, you know, they realize that it's two great institutions. So while I was caught in a little bit of joking fun during the transition, it was great. And, you know, I still have relationships with some of the coaches and administrators that I worked with at Yale. I have great relationships with the same individuals here at Harvard. And it's sometimes, and especially with the Ivy League, because we are kind of different than a lot of other conferences and have a different philosophy and things. It's about working together too. So I also feel like sometimes I'm able to bridge that gap. So I really appreciate the experience at both institutions and try to use it in a way to help, you know, just help our conference grow and do more initiatives and things together. So it was a little bit of a wild ride, but all's well that ends well. So
very good. So kind of like just for the listeners who are considering pivoting, can you share us your steps that you consider when you are doing such a pivot?
Yeah. So, you know, really I look at what I'm going, how I'm going to grow in a new position. If there's things that I'll be able to do that I'm not currently able to do, or there are opportunities for growth that I might not have, you know, at the place that I'm currently at, you know, that's a consideration. You also want to consider what you have, you know, at the place you're at. I've always been lucky to work under great people and people who are interested in my growth as an administrator and people who allow me to do things that might not necessarily be in my job description, again, so that I can grow. And you don't want to leave a place and then you won't have that. Or at least you should consider what that's gonna look like. I've heard several times, you know, and not in this instance, but the grass isn't always greener, you know, on the other side. So you have to think about who you're going to be working with, what's their philosophy, what's your philosophy, how those things gel or don't gel. And then just, you know, you obviously have the personal aspects of it all, wherever you are in your life, figuring out how that blends with a potential opportunity and how staying where you are currently, you know, what effect that currently has on your life and where you're looking to go. So those are generally the things that I really think about when, you know, even entertaining a pivot or thinking about applying somewhere, you know, if that's an opportunity. So,
well, and let me just be clear with people listening. So the word "can I grow?" And, you know, we usually get excited about, ooh, I get to do. But growth is sometimes uncomfortable. And so,
right.
You got to embrace that, especially when you're doing something new. You know, there's no failures, there's only learning. Can you talk about this growth and how you navigated the happy growth and the uncomfortable growth?
Yeah. So I think I can answer that question in kind of one scenario. So when I came to Harvard, like I said before, I now have oversight of our Harvard Radcliffe Fund for Women's Athletics. That's something that I wanted to do at Yale. The structure at the time wasn't set up to have me do that. And so, you know, moving on to Harvard, that was one of the things that I got to take over. To be honest with you, other than being a manager and when we would do fundraising events and things, I really didn't have any stewardship or donor engagement experience. So really working with our team here at Harvard, who does that, learning from them, kind of, you know, taking on the efforts of taking the first draft of an appeal that we're going to write out and being okay with the feedback when somebody says, well, you know, maybe you should reword it like this, or maybe you should take this approach, even after I've spent time working on it. I think, you know, being able to take feedback and really use it in a constructive way and asking questions are two or three of the biggest parts of growth. And you have to be okay with that. You're not going to do everything right all the time. But if you take that feedback, you grow. You really look at what you're doing and ask questions, look at how you can do it better. You know, you're moving yourself forward on the path, whether you know it or not, to your next level. So whatever that may be.
And that's absolutely true. You know, I'm on the entrepreneur side, and I'm taking a lot of I'm still learning. I mean, and I love to learn. Actually, learning are my endorphins. That's crazy. But as soon as I learn something new, I'm like, ooh, I got a new lease on life. But
I'm the
one
same
of the
way.
Things, yeah. And the interesting thing, the question is, you know, why do women think that they are not good in sales? And women are actually great in it if they look at it in the right direction. And what you're talking about is relationships. And we are not great with relationships?
I think
like
we are.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
I definitely think
we are.
Right. So if we go with relationships, you'll know and you have emotional intelligence to be able to go for the ask because you know what to ask for.
Yep.
And so, again, it's all in how we look at it, perspective. So I always thought I couldn't sell because I was always the person who activated after the signing on the paper. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so, but I'm the one that kept everybody happy because they liked what I produced from what they told me they wanted to do.
Right.
And so, but the part, and I will tell you, that's one of the things, again, I was young. I mean, young. I became athletic director at 28 years old. I had not matured to the level of understanding about the relationship. I thought people were using me. You know what I'm like?
Well, I think you made a really good point on the piece about emotional intelligence. Like, that's one of the biggest things. You know, everybody doesn't respond to the same, you know, way of feedback or talking or kind of interaction that everyone else does. And for you to be able to adapt, and that's kind of what makes, like, the salesperson, right? Being able to adapt to that person in front of you, your audience, and kind of, I don't want to say knowing what they want to hear, but knowing how to energize them or make the sale or pitch the idea to them is really important.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, there is science to what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say knowing what they want to hear, I'm going to give you an example. Like I was say, I look forward to seeing you, right? Okay?
Right.
But somebody say, I look forward to hearing from you.
Right.
One is an audio type person and one is a visionary type person. All right?
Exactly.
So therefore, you know what to say back. That means you know that the person may just want to have a voicemail of what we're going to talk about. But then someone else may need to have a document. So, but you got to be really in tune to such. You know, it's a practice thing. It's a certification. it's called LPN, Linguistics something, something, something. But it's something people in sales take, and you're learning how to reach people. And using the words that people already use with you means I'm reaching you for where you want to be.
Right.
You know, it's as simple as, okay, we're talking about how Harvard, Tracy Green is a friend of mine. Okay, we're talking about tennis. All right. So, you know, if somehow or another we have an alumnus who's familiar with her mother, and lacrosse, different sport. But, you know, you may be able to say, hey, Tracy Green's mother won the first national championship, first black woman national championship in lacrosse. You know, do you have lacrosse?
Yes. We have everything,
okay.
Monique. We have 42 sports.
Oh, my God. You know, I feel somewhat connection. My cousin was on the crew team a long time ago. He's a dad now, lives in Charlotte. But that's between him and Tracy, I do feel like I got some connections. And I did come to a fundraiser, but it wasn't for Harvard. It might have been for Harvard because I did meet some Harvard staff people there. But Tracy was being honored, and so I was on the board of the Black Women's Sports Foundation.
Right.
So
yes.
I flew up there to Boston just in support of. But the point is that you go for the connections that you already make, and you listen to what they have. And I think that, you probably didn't, your certification and contracts, don't you think that has some kind of help with you with the Women's Fund program you're doing now?
Oh, certainly. Whether it's the communication piece, whether it's, just the stewardship piece and kind of bringing people together for a common goal and then kind of, I'll say, documenting that and setting forth on that, I definitely think that has a big influence on how I'm able to manage that.
Well, I'm excited for you because that's a new territory we need to embrace, and we got to deal with the rejection and the no. And one of the things I continue to try to teach is that the no is not personal. It's whoever asked the question.
Right. And how that question is presented.
Exactly. This has been a great conversation. We're going to continue talking about learning and pivoting, but we're going to take a short break here in the Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith here in the garden.
Looking forward to it.
Hey, it's Dr. Jasmine George Williams, also known as Dr. G. I'm so excited to share the release of my book, Love is at the Root of Resistance, Strategies of Activism, Advocacy, and Liberation, available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle format. To learn more about my research and activism, please visit www.drjasmine.com. That's www.drjasmine. Thank you for your support. All power to the people.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chat in the Garden with Significance Blooms here in athletics and sports. Well, I know you've heard me say before, seeds are reeds, and I'm big on books. So would you share a book that has assisted you in your leadership?
Yeah, I feel like everybody's read this book, but I've really found it helpful to me and just kind of figuring out what my vision is, focusing on that, sharing that with others, and then executing it. But The Energy Bus by John Gordon is one that, you know, I'll say my supervisor here at Harvard, he suggested it when I first started here, and I found it really helpful throughout my time.
Yeah, I read that book. I think I might need to go back because, again, The Energy Bus, when I read it, I was reading it from a leadership standpoint, and what stayed with me was about the vampires and that kind of thing.
The energy vampires.
Yeah. But now that I'm a solo entrepreneur, The Energy Bus has a different perspective of, are you your own vampire? It's like the inner peace, you know.
Yeah.
How you, what kind of energy you bring and what energy you attract versus how to lead others and be able to identify, hey, either you're on the bus or off the bus. It's more about you're on the bus and what type of energy are you giving out. And so,
right. And I think that can be read from, like you said, a lot of different perspectives, that perspective, the leadership, but also kind of if you're kind of, I'll say, like a middle management type and creating new ideas and trying to have those implemented too. So I think for anyone, regardless of position or where they're at, it has helpful takeaways.
Well, you know, you said that, and I have got to share a book that I just used just recently. I've been asked by the AAU Nationals to help with their championships and using a couple of my students as a project on the side. And what the book that I'm using, and it was great, was Creative Confidence.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one. I haven't read it yet.
Tom Kelly and David Kelly, they're the owners of IDEO, which I guess is idea with the word O in front at the end of it. And a couple of exercises we talked about the end user called the customer's journey. And when you go through that step by step, you might actually see some holes or some questions that you need to be, because the key is to be empathetic with the user.
Right.
And so, again, I'm a nerd. I played it on the audiobook as I went to visit my home, which is about 1 hour and 15 away. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So then I went online to see if the activities that they had and they mentioned were in a PDF, and it is. And so, hey, again, I love books, and right. I believe that we should plant seeds in others. So thank you. I think I will put The Energy Bus up as a follow-up for our time together.
Great.
Same
with Creative Confidence. That'll be my next read. And I do audio books on my ride into work as well, so I'll knock it out in the next week or so, hopefully.
So how long is your commute?
It's about 45 minutes.
Okay. And just like last week, and I don't have much time to jump on to, just like last week, you had new personal developments over the summertime too.
The last 10 months, I've probably done every major thing. I welcome my baby girl, Chloe, into the world. I purchased a house, and then I got married this summer. So, you know, doing everything over here, or at least trying to.
Can you just give us one word or two, how do you, because I don't like the word balance. I say ebb and flow. How you flowing with that?
Flowing is coming along. You know, there's a lot of learning moments here. I like to say work-life integration. So, mm-hmm. you know, you got to integrate the two together. And, it's going. My husband is helping so much with her. He's actually ending his parental leave here next week. So he's been at home with her for the last 3 months while I got back to the office and everything from, you know, not being in the office from the pandemic. So we've been figuring it out, but every day is fun, I'll say. She's learning so much. She starts daycare next week. I think it's going to be harder on me than her. But but it's a learning experience every day, and we're just having so much fun with it. So.
Well, let me say this. I am not a mother, but I do know in the garden we have several mothers in the business, and I'm sure they can give you some pointers. So if you're listening,
yes.
drop her a line. Thank you so much.
Drop me a line, and I've reached out to a few.
You did? Wonderful.
Yes.
And I'm so happy for you. I hope you can hear my grin.
Thank you. I can. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me in the garden. I appreciate that. And thank you. Go ahead.
I've had a wonderful time this morning, so thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome. And thank you to our engineer, Jomlin Harrison from Refined Solutions, for being our engineer today. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates from show guests and podcast follow-ups. Join us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. Have a significant rest of the day.